Stop jumping on me. Ah, why are you doing that?
Having a bad dog day?
Rex, come back here.
From police dogs to pet dogs, from potty training to pet peeves, number one best-selling author and 30-year canine trainer Andy Falco knows how to get to the meat of what's eating your dog. This is Falco Canine Dog Talk,
the show that helps you and your dog create a relationship of love and respect.
What a good boy. Good heel, Rex. I love you, Rex.
And now here's your host, Andy Falco.
Thank you, Christopher, for that great introduction, as usual. Hey, gang, this is Andy over at Falco Canines Dog Talk. I'm the owner of Falco Canine Academy, and we are getting our podcast back up and running after our big move, and we had launched a couple books. And so we had a few things going on, so we had to take a little break, a little hiatus, as they say in the industry. Not that I'm really in the industry, but I had to use words like I was. But so as you may or may not know, we moved from Brea over to Yorba Linda, where we are alongside Country Care Pet Resort and the German Shepherd Rescue of Orange County. And that's headed up by Maria over there at the GS Rock. So we are so happy that we're able to partner up with them. We also have Paz Ferdez over there and a fantastic groomer. And so we're just so fortunate that we're able to team up and basically have a little dog town over there. And if you come down there and join us, there's something for everybody over at that location. So go ahead and give us a call and let us know what it is you need, and we will set you up. All right, sounds good. And as I just mentioned a little bit ago, my son and I just got done writing a book called Police Dog Recruit, and it's been such a blast. He's 9 years old, and he's been having so much fun signing books and doing readings. As a matter of fact, first it became an international bestseller. That was one of the really first cool things that we had that happened during our launch. And then now we've been asked to do book readings at different places, and one we have coming up in San Diego next Friday. And that is at the San Diego Discovery Children's Museum. So go ahead and go to their website, San Diego Discovery Children's Museum. It's in the first week of June. And sorry, I should have had that date already for you. I may have to look it up while I'm still talking to you here and try to figure out when that is. I'm so sorry. Most of these things I have written down on my notes to make sure and get to you. But of course, that's not one of them. I have the location. And again, you could obviously just go to their website, but some of you are going to be listening to this at different times, and it's possible that you're listening to after the event. So it is actually June 5th. Oh my gosh. And we'll be there between 9 and 1:30, it says on my calendar. So I'm not sure exactly what time we'll be reading. I'm guessing somewhere around 10 or 11 o'clock. And so come down there and join us. That'd be awesome time. And the Discovery Museum on its own, not just don't come there just to see us necessarily, but also come down there to see the rest of the museum. Oh, and a canine handler from Escondido Police Department will be there doing a demonstration also. So that'll be for fun for you and the kids, or if you're a kid listening, then it'll be fun for you and your parent. All right, so we had the big move. Aldo Secchi and I launched a book called The Perfect Dog Training Method. That's available also. Both books are available on Amazon, of course. Just go ahead and type in either my name, Andy Falco, or Police Dog Recruit, or The Perfect Dog Training Method. I may have said system earlier. Method. All right, so go ahead and check those things out. They're available to you right now. If you have any questions that you would like us to ask you, any questions that you would like to ask of us, and we would like to answer for you, there we go. We have a brand new phone number. Apparently our other one went down, and we're not really sure what happened to that phone number, but this one operates perfectly. I made sure of that today. I've tested it several times, and the number is 949-415-8848. 949-415-8848. And you just give that number a call and give us any question you have in regard to dogs. It can be anything about working dogs. It could be about detection dogs, pet dogs, health issues, nutrition. I don't care what it is. Give that number a call and let us know what it is that you want to for us to feature on one of our upcoming podcasts or radio shows, whatever you want to call them nowadays. I think they're going away from the name podcast because almost everything is now internet based, including the old radio stations that are on celestial radio. And so everything's pretty much just a radio show now. So I'm going to try to get out of the habit of calling it a podcast, because the only thing about a podcast is that you can subscribe to it and listen to the episodes anytime you want to. I say, so that's probably the biggest differentiation. But we are doing some live webcasts, is what they're calling them now, or live TV shows. And there's nothing that's going to stop us from doing live radio shows on the internet also. So look for that. But go ahead and call that number, 949-415-8848. And we will be looking forward to your question. Take a moment to listen to how you can find us on YouTube.
This is Falco Canine Dog Talk, human training for your dog. Find us on YouTube at youtube.com/Falco143. While you're there, be sure to watch the latest episode of Falco Canine's Driving with Andy for more great dog training tips.
Right, that's right. Make sure and go to our YouTube channel where you'll see not only our Driving with Andy episodes, but other videos that we put together in regard to either training or some of the other stuff that we talk about here on the Falco Canines. So the question that we have, this is a new feature on Falco Canines Dog Talk. It is a question that I'm going to ask you, and you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/Falco Canine Academy and find out the answer and find out the other answers people are given. But I will give the answer to this question on our Facebook page. It's how many scent receptors in a dog's olfactory system? How many scent receptors are there in a dog's olfactory system? So go to Facebook, look for that question, and give me your answer. Tomorrow morning, I will give the answer of how many scent receptors there are in a dog's olfactory system. It's unbelievable. It's incredibly unbelievable. It is amazing that these dogs have the power that they do in locating and detecting odor. I've talked about this a few times on some of other episodes and some of our videos, but I did a study with UC Davis. We wrote a scientific paper on it, and it just was it was a fantastic opportunity for me to work with the science behind detection dogs. And we had dogs finding substances that were diluted down to 0.01 microliters. Such a diluted amount of contamination that we were using of E. coli salmonella that it was unbelievable that the dogs that we had trained were able to locate that amount of contamination on a pound or more of produce that we were putting it in. It boggled my mind, and it just changed the whole way that I thought about dogs and about their training, and it just really changed everything, because I knew dogs had a great supernatural superpower with their nose, but it never really hit me before as to how incredible it was until I did that test. And in some future episodes, we'll be talking a little bit more about detection dog stuff, but I just got to tell you that it is probably more incredible than you can even imagine. I know that it was for me, and I was in the business at that time at about 20 years when we were doing that, and now it's 30 years. And to know and to find out how fantastic these dogs' noses are, mind-boggling, the things that we were able to do. And I can tell you some stories right now, but the podcast would end up being 5 hours long, and there's going to be another time for me to do that for you. But one of the things I want to talk about in this particular episode is because the summer is coming up, you guys are going to be becoming more active with your dogs and doing a lot more stuff with your dogs. Not that you aren't in the wintertime. I know that us Californians over here are fair weather dog walkers, and that's the time we play with our dogs. But you have to really understand that we just really like the sun. When it gets cold, we like to stay inside. But for the rest of the world who does get out in the rain and walk their dog and play frisbee and that kind of stuff, I wanted to point out the top 10 reasons people take their dogs to the vet, and the top 10 injuries to dogs. And I think that you'll find that it kind of interesting to a certain extent, but there's so much of this that can be avoided if we just take a look at, you know, what's going on with our dog. So let me just go through the list. And the number 10, this is my Andy Letterman top 10, whatever it's called. I forgot what it's called. The top 10 injuries and what causes you to take your dog to the vet. The number 10 is soft tissue trauma. So, you know, hitting something as they're running, falling off of something. Dogs do trip. It's sometimes comical, but and sometimes it's not when the dog gets hurt. But soft tissue damage. We had our puppy the other day. Her name is Hazel, and she was running chasing her brother, who visits us from time to time. And they were running around in our front yard, and as they were running towards the back yard through the gate, there is a planter, a brick planter, and of course there's a sharp corner on that planter where the bricks, you know, change directions. And well, Hazel didn't change directions, and she ran right into that corner and hit her chest, which caused her to limp for about, I would say, about a week. And that's what we're talking about there, that soft tissue trauma, which I'm not sure that you always need to go to the vet, but there's a lot of people that take their dog to the vet probably just to make sure that nothing's broken, that nothing's any long-term damage. But that's how those things happen. Dogs, just like us, are sometimes not paying attention, running too fast, doing something that we probably shouldn't be doing, and we fall, trip, and run into stuff. So number 10, top 10 reason why the dogs are taken to the vet is soft tissue trauma. The next is cruciate ligament injuries without surgery. And of course, as you know, cruciate ligament is found in the knee, and kind of the same thing. They're running around, they're doing stuff they shouldn't do, and they hyperextend or they run into something and they cause an injury, but it doesn't require injury. So that's the number 9 top 10 reason why dogs are taken to the vet. Number 8, lacerations or bite wounds. Of course, bite wounds are, you know, self-explanatory. The dog has gotten to a ruckus with another dog and gets bite injuries. Those are obviously usually punctures. However, there will be some tears and rips and that kind of stuff that require stitches, but most of those are punctures, and you got to keep those darn things clean. So in our business of dog training, obviously the most important thing that we tell people is to make sure and properly socialize your dogs as you're raising your dog, and let them know what it's like, what socialization is supposed to be like, and show them, just like children when they're on the playground and, you know, they're playing, they're having fun, they're laughing and giggling, then all of a sudden you hear the tone of their voice change and they start yelling at each other or becoming aggressive towards each other. We stop them and we put them in a timeout. We just don't let them figure it out all the time, right? Especially when you don't know the other child. With the dogs, and in particular when you don't know the other dog, the worst thing you can do sometimes is let them work it out. Now, there are times when I have told some of our customers with dogs that live in the same house that one of the most powerful things you can do is allow the dogs to work it out. But when you're out in public and you're around another dog that you don't know, the best thing to do is to get your dog out of that situation or identify it before it gets into a situation where the dogs you know, begin to fight and bite each other and that kind of stuff. So know what type of place you're going to. Respect leash laws. Dog parks aren't necessarily one of my favorite places for people to take their dogs, because you just cannot control the surroundings and the situations very easily. So they're not necessarily my favorite place. If you can have moments where you're with people that you know, you can set up play dates and that kind of stuff, that is way better. Like we do with Hazel and her brother, who right now at a young age, they still get along, and that could absolutely change. But then there's some other Labrador retrievers that are on our block that they like to get together and run about and have a really good time. But again, you don't do it without monitoring them, and you want to keep an eye on things. And when you see things starting to get out of hand, then you want to make sure and step in, and maybe it's appropriate for a timeout for both the dogs. All right, so I beat that one up, didn't I? All right, so now let's go to number six, cruciate ligament injury surgical repair. And this is the same as the one earlier, which was number nine. But this is where surgery is required, and it's actually more common than the other. So it appears to me that it's more common for dogs to come in for knee problems that require surgery, and that is, again, just not really being careful about where the dog is playing, where you're throwing the frisbee, how you're throwing the frisbee or the ball, and monitoring the play in the dogs. Again, we don't want you to be stopping them every time the dog begins to run, because running and playing are a very healthy part of a dog's life. But really just be aware of your surroundings, where they're running, where you're throwing the toy that they're going to go and fetch. And just make sure that you're careful about considering that they could run into something and seriously hurt their knee. Because dogs just want that ball sometimes. They just want that frisbee. And so you want to avoid this this number six, surgical cruciate ligament injury. And it's really about monitoring what it is your dog is doing, where they're doing it, and how you're encouraging them to run and jump and play. And that leads right into our next one, number five, which is mouth trauma and fractured teeth. Now, I can think of a bunch of different reasons why this happens. Some of it, I believe, would have to do a little bit with age, not caring for the teeth properly, making sure they get something that they can chew on to make sure that their teeth get clean and keep that plaque off and that kind of stuff. And so that's one of the things. You want to make sure they have healthy teeth. And that is something we surely can control by what it is we give them to make sure they maintain good health care. And there are toothbrushes for dogs and toothpaste for dogs that you can do once in a while. Again, that takes a pretty dedicated pet dog owner. I see many working dog owners brush their dog's teeth to make sure that that doesn't become an issue. Because remember that the teeth, the nose, the ears, the eyes, they're all kind of connected. And you get an infection in any one of those, it's going to lessen the effectiveness of the nose if you have a working dog, and the hearing and the eyes begin to goo and all that kind of stuff. So take good care of their teeth, number one. That will help. The next thing is you want to make sure that whatever you're giving them to chew on is something that's chewable. And don't encourage them to chase rocks. Now, we had a Jack Russell Terrier that we used for that E. coli Salmonella detection program I told you about with UC Davis, and that dog would chase rocks, and we had to make sure that we did not encourage that by throwing the rock, because of what the dog would end up doing then when we walk outside, she would go run and find a rock and bring it to us, and so she was constantly putting rocks in her mouth, so we had to make sure that there was a toy out there that she could carry that wasn't going to destroy her teeth. Some dogs like to chew on chain link fences too. If you put them in a kennel and you see that your dog is pulling on the chain link fence, then you might want to change to some type of bar kennel system that they can't chew on and hurt their teeth. And just, again, monitoring what it is that they're doing for fun or because they don't like being in a certain location, you may need to change whatever it is that you're using for your enclosure to keep them from injuring their teeth. Again, dogs don't know any better, and especially German Shepherds, Belgian Malinois, they have a strong pain tolerance and will hurt themselves before they stop. And that's just the way that they are. Then there's many other breeds that do the same thing. So monitoring what it is your dog is chewing on, be careful about encouraging them to chase rocks, and making sure that your enclosure isn't causing them to have teeth injuries because they're trying to get out through chewing and biting and trying to get through that gate. All right. Number four, sprain or joint injury. Back to watching your dog, what they're doing, where they're playing, how they're doing it. Dogs like to jump fences. They like to climb on things. You may have to baby-proof, aka dog-proof, your backyard so that you don't give them the opportunity to jump on top of stuff. I've seen dogs walking on roofs. I've seen dogs walking on the tops of fences, like goats. And so it's a matter of managing the dog in the sense of making sure that you're proofing your backyard and your inside your home so that you don't again, encourage your dog to do stuff that's going to cause them to get injured. Monitoring their play. I'm sure that a lot of these sprains and joint injury occur during play when they're having a really good time. But again, know when it's getting out of hand. Just like you would if you had a child, you wouldn't let them do X Games stuff if they didn't have the appropriate equipment on, helmets and knee pads and all that kind of stuff, and the proper training. Stretching, you can massage your dogs and stretch your dogs and get them kind of loosened up and ready for play. I know that some people are going to kind of frown at this and think it's kind of kooky, but there's nothing wrong with massaging the dog and stretching them, getting them ready for it before they go out and play. You just do it as you do. If you're going to go out for a jog, the most important thing for you to do is to stretch and to make sure that you're ready for that run. Don't go out there and start running. Why would it be different for a dog? A dog that's been laying in his dog bed all night, you get up and you just start throwing the ball cold, he's going to get hurt. All right, warm your dog up to that kind of play. You know, walk them around the block first and then do the play. Walk them to the park and then do the play. Do something to warm that dog's muscles and joints up before you start the heavy throwing and long balls and throwing it over mounds and over brush and that kind of stuff without warming them up would be silly because you're going to get one of these injuries. All right. Abrasions, number three, abrasions are superficial wounds. Abrasions, you know, running, falling, it's all the same stuff. And I don't want to beat it up any more than I already have. But these things are, again, happen when we're doing stuff with the dogs that they're not either ready to do, prepared to do, or you're just not paying attention where you're throwing the ball. I've seen dogs that have poked out their eye as they're running into a bush, and one of the sticks that are sticking out will then poke them in the eye, and now the eye has to be removed, or it was removed at the time of the incident. This does happen, and it's because we're not paying attention to what we're doing. We're throwing a Kong, which can bounce in all kinds of different directions, and it goes into a bush and causes that kind of injury. Gastric foreign objects ingestion. That's another really common one. I tell people all the time, don't leave tennis balls with your Labrador Retriever because they're going to chew it, they're going to pop it, and a piece of it is going to end up going and getting stuck in their throat. They'll go all the way into their stomach and cause problems as it's trying to go through the digestive tract. All right, so Kongs. Kongs are great, but they're not great to leave with the dog because the dog will chew off that small end sometimes and get that lodged in his throat, stomach, and intestinal tract and cause problems. Dogs that chew and eat shoes or underwear or socks. Again, the thing is all this can be avoided. And when you bring your dog in the home, make sure everything's picked up. Make sure everything's in a hamper with a lid on it. People that have dogs that, you know, I hear this all the time. My dog's chewed three pairs of shoes or four pairs of shoes. Well, the way to solve that problem isn't always necessary through training. It's putting the shoes where the dog can't get them. That's the easy thing. One of my favorite calls I got, and I've shared this with people before, is a guy calls me on the phone and was willing to spend some money on training because his dog had eaten two hoses in his backyard. And he was getting frustrated because the hoses, you know, he's tired of buying hoses. And I told him, I said, well, did you think about buying one of those carts where you roll up the hose and then you just take it into your garage and shut the door? And he kind of was silent for a minute and he kind of stopped and he goes, shoot, I never thought of that. All right. He saved tons of money on training. He just got a hose cart and his problem was solved. If it's not there, the dog can't chew it. If the underwear is not there, the dog can't chew it and swallow it. That's just the way that it is. You got to make sure and again, baby proof, dog proof your home to keep you from having to take them to the vet. And the number one issue that dogs are brought to the vet, and this kind of surprised me. I was expecting something else. But the number one reason dogs get taken to the vet is torn or injured nail. Really? Yes. Torn or injured nail. Again, happens in play and running and jumping and that kind of stuff. But again, a very easily avoided situation in most cases that if you are just to get your dog's nails trimmed and make sure they're not hanging out, overextended and curled, they're not going to get caught on the things that tear them out, like the space between, the cracks in sidewalks where their nails can get caught sometimes, or going up a set of stairs where they're wood and there's a little break in between, the dog gets his toes caught, and dog ends up panicking, because they don't understand it, and they end up turning or twisting the wrong direction, and bam, off goes their toenail, taking a whole bunch of other stuff with it, and practically their toe. And so that's how that kind of stuff happens. So trim your dog's toenails on a regular basis, or make sure they're running on cement so that they get worn down enough so that they're not hanging out and curled to where they can get caught on stuff. But pretty simple solutions to these injuries and things that you can take care of to keep yourself out of the vet. And it's not cheap. So I'm hoping this discussion will help you guys with your dogs as you are playing with them and taking them out and that kind of stuff. All right. So again, don't forget to call our new number. And that again is 949-415-8848. There it is. I guess it's a brand new number. I got to memorize it. 949-415-8848. And again, make sure just call and tell, let me know how you're doing with your dog. Let me know if there's any questions or things that we can do for you and answer for you in regard to your dog and help you with training. Or just give me a call and let me know how you like the podcast. If you like a different format, because we've done a few formats as we're trying to find out which format works best for you. And I'm thinking the most current format where we're going to bring again a couple subjects and talk about them. And we're going to bring in some special guests and veterinarians and other trainers and that kind of stuff. I think that you will find that to be very helpful. All right. So this is our comeback radio show just for you guys to get us back on track with our regular scheduled podcast so that you can keep up to date with what's going on. Again, not only what's going on with Falco Canine Academy, but what's going on in the dog world as a whole. All right, the next episode, we're going to talk a little bit about dog nutrition and some training adventures that we've had lately that I think you'll find very, very interesting. All right, you guys, have a great, great week, and we'll talk to you at the next one. Take care. Bye-bye.
Do you have a love-hate relationship with your dog? Learn how to change that into a relationship of love and respect with help from Falco Canine Academy.
Get your free training report at falcocanineacademy.com.
Thanks for listening to Falco Canine Dog Talk,
the show that helps you and your dog create a relationship of love and respect.
If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address at www.falcocanineacademy.com.
And like our Facebook page at facebook.com/Falco Canine Academy.
Follow us on twitter.com/Falco Canine Academy.
And subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Falco143.
And remember, if you've got questions for Andy, call the K9 line at 714-798-9961. That's 714-798-9961.
This is a production of Falco Enterprises Incorporated. All rights reserved.